come to the second day of this public hearing. First, sorry we're disturbing you in our meeting. How are you? Fine, thank you. We had a very fruitful hearing yesterday. And a lot of issues came to the fore. Really one or two that are worth mentioning. For those that weren't here, just to say that as the department has already done in a press statement quite a while back, they yesterday in their input indicated that clearly some of the consequences that may emanate from the wording of 30A1A was not intended, and what they really wanted to cover was false information, misleading information, and hoaxes. And that clearly they would like to see the clause amended accordingly. Now, a lot of you have made submissions on that clause, so I would ask you to bear in mind that that has already been conceded in the meeting, and that that part of the legislation will be amended accordingly. You can still say whatever you want to say, but bear that in mind, please, as you do so. We have 8 submissions today. Yes, 8. The first is weather.co.za, Mr. Joelberg. It is submission 26. Who is that? Oh, I thought you were going to the beach.
I thought as well, and I hope to get out of here soon.
I want to say to you that I take great offense to your dress code.
Is it?
Parliament has a dress code, and I don't expect people to wear ties and jackets. But to come here in shorts and thongs and T-shirts, it's really, no one is allowed in the House of Parliament like that.
Oh.
Not a single person. And I really do not know why it is necessary for you to come and show such disrespect to parliamentary procedures. I mean, surely it's just common sense that you attend a meeting of great importance where you want to influence the legislator.
Mm.
Surely there's a certain dress code to it. So I must just say to you, I really take it amiss with the kind of way that you view Parliament and its proceedings by the way that you dress and want to present yourself here.
I can excuse myself and, well, maybe excuse it with the fact that I'm, as you might hear, not a South African citizen. And
what citizen are you?
Originally German.
Will you go to the German Parliament like that?
No, I've actually never spoken in front of Parliament or visited it before yesterday, so it's very new to me.
Okay, well, we've made the point. Continue with your... So you know what the drill is. You were yesterday. You have 10 to 15 minutes to make your input. Please concentrate on the things you would like to see amended, and then the rest of the time will be used on questions.
Yes. All right. Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity to talk to you about it. The whole issue is rather important, I think, to the whole, well, business and interest field of meteorology in South Africa. And I'm speaking here, well, more from a private business background than from a... But I'm also having lots of insights into the, well, first of all, how comparable legislation looks like in internationally and how businesses work internationally in the weather sphere. Though my background is more from building businesses than creating weather forecasts. First of all, I wanted to ask, so the legislation, the bill was created to well, or at least the amendment 30A and 28B was created to solve the problem with hoaxes. And for me, it was actually rather new, only having observed the weather scene in the last 4 years here in South Africa. It was rather new that they caused a real big problem to, like, the stability of a country or these means. But I talked to, the last 2 weeks, I talked to people who are in the weather field, and I realized, okay, they are a real problem. They might not be, it might not be a huge issue, but it does exist. And knowing a lot, so my background is completely from the internet. So I've been working and doing business online the last 14 years. And I can honestly tell you, the problem won't be solved with legislation. Hoaxes can't be fought with laws. Hoaxes can only be fought with information. Because they are all coming out of obscurity, out of anonymity. I'm very sure you've never had valid contact details in the document, in the faked letters circulating around. And whatever legislation you put in place, you will never find yourself in a situation where you can prosecute the author, the originator of this hoax. So I ask you to bear in mind that whatever bill you will decide upon, it will never have the outcome that you effectively fought these hoaxes. Moreover, you might find yourself with a result that totally is not in line with your expectations. You might find yourself with a problem that you monopolize the market that, well, you thought you would help. So the solution is very simple. Better information, better distribution of information, and maybe making sure that there is a warning system in place about hoaxes, not about you can't prosecute like the distribution of weather warnings or severe weather warnings. There's no way that this will help a country. And realizing that the impact of the supposed weather bill is totally not in line with international rules or habits. I just wanted to point out the Resolution 40 that following the SAWS Act of 2001, the South African Weather Service has to oblige by, that sanctions their members, sanctions their commitment to the free and unrestricted exchange of meteorological and related data and products, and especially urges them to, in Annex 3, to create a sound, fair, transparent, and stable relationship between the private and the public sector. I think that is not necessarily something that we've seen in the past, and I will come to that later. I would say that the culture of the SAWS hasn't really been very open at all at least in the last 3 years. So the bill clearly doesn't help, the bill in the current state clearly doesn't help to create a fair relation between private companies and SAWS. I'm very sure most of you have used weather.sa.co.za, and I may want to point out that weather.co.za is my site. It doesn't look very pretty either, and it's not very rich in functionality at its current state, but that is going to change rather soon. But weather.sa.co.za has seen multiple variations since 2008, and if you just look around, you will really find out that people are really not happy with the site. They are not happy with the quality of the data, but recently in the last 3 years, they also noticed that the site becomes more and more restrictive, more and more features are being available to paid subscribers only, while in the past all that data used to be free. And if you look more into the background of the whole of how the whole site is actually not run by SAWS, but by the private company Weather Intelligence Systems, that is part of Future Foresight Group. And if you meet their mission statement, that I won't read out now, but that you can see on the screen, you will realize they are not serving the public in the way they are supposed to do. And it might not be directly related to the bill, or it might not seem to be directly related to the bill, but for me, I would like to raise the question whether the bill was maybe put into this context and so that it could be used against, well, private competition in a way that now licensees of competing services, media that tries to license the data from private competition might now be contacted by SAWS or by their private weather intelligence systems, being warned about the fact that using the competing weather warnings, severe weather warnings on their site, in their media, might actually bring them into jail. I think if you really look at the public outcry, and if you don't wash it away saying that's completely silly, you will see there is a certain... It can't be pure coincidence that this legislation, this bill in its current form, can be used against all private competition in a very monopolistic way. Because you'd only need to look back into the June 2009 version of Weather as A.CLSZA and read the FAQ to see how they seem to see competition. The question is SAWS data accurate? They simply answer with yes, it's the only accurate source in the world for SA, the only one. Sure, the SABC got some very high-level maps from us, and most SA newspapers get their data from us, but basically everything else you see is completely drivel, whatever that means. And they say, quite simply, everything else out there is completely inaccurate. That's some very, very bold statements. And we've done some comparative research into whether SA data, into source data versus, well, private competition, and with very mixed results. Usually we saw something like 75% precision in source data and 85% precision in private competition. So if you really start benchmarking precision of the web forecast, you will find out source isn't that precise as they claim to be. And I think it's a kind of a dangerous attitude that they have towards private competition.
You have a minute left.
Okay. You've seen a lot of outcry in regards of the weather bill out there from very different sources, and I've talked to some of them. And for example, and you need to realize that many of these private weather people, they don't have the means, they don't have the resources to be over here today. They can't afford, they are in the weather field only as a hobby. They make do it out of passion. And so I've got the submission from stormchasing.co.za here. He couldn't make it. I've even got the submission that wasn't submitted on time by News24.
Okay.
Editor.
Thank you. That's your okay. Time. Conspiracy theories aside, any questions? Mr. Morgan.
Thank you for your presentation. Just for the purposes of this house, where are the alternative sources of weather information gained from? So, for example, storm chasing or weather.co.za and the like, the various other online sources from which South Africans can get weather information. Where is that got from? Is it a combination of information from stores and other sites, international sites, or is it just international sites? And then lastly, as it relates to the clause on weather-related warnings, which is one of the more contentious clauses that stands, from a point of view of weather.co.za, are you in the habit of actually putting out weather-related warnings? If so, where do you get that information from? And I mean, I'm not, you know, for the moment, I'm no doubt you do it in completely good faith, so they would never be termed hoaxes, but for the information, where do you get that information from, if indeed it does happen at all that you put out those kinds of weather-related warnings? Thank you very much.
Your first question is,
you know the procedure. I'll call you when you can answer.
Okay.
Anyone else that has questions? All right, answer them.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. So, storm chasers, for example, as they say themselves in the submission, is they don't issue the same kind of real-time warnings, but they issue, well, eyewitness-based warnings. So, either by their own observations or by manually interpreting data that they access from various sources. That is something that a source doesn't do and can't do. No organization would have these resources. That can only be done by private, you know, hobbyists. And I think they are, well, doing something very, very valuable in that regard. Very comparable to the example we heard yesterday about farmers, you know, having informal networks where they send out warnings via CB networks, antenna networks, and general weather service sites like weather.co.za use a different approach. They use, well, calculated forecasting algorithms based on different experience, different algorithms that are like their unique property. Right now, and also releasing severe weather warnings based on these outcomes and these findings. Right now, weather.co.za doesn't have the capacities and not the means to supply these data, these warnings. So right now, we don't do that. We are not like under in danger of being affected by the bill. But yes, we do have very real plans on how to set up weather forecasting operations going into the future that might materialize in the next 6 months, if not earlier. But, well, this is also based on the outcome of the bill, whether we'll pursue these actions, whether we will create infrastructure in South Africa, or whether we'll leave that to others who are more adventurous and willing to risk 5 million rands and in penalties.
Thanks. I mean, I understand from your presentation that part of your argument was to say that it's difficult to legislate against hoax warnings, if not pointless. I'd like your opinion on whether, if, for example, this committee was to very specifically legislate against hoax warnings, talking about intent, you know, the intent to do harm, which is a very specific thing. It's quite common in law that if those types of amendments are made, much tighten it and clearly create the offense of a hoax, okay, would you find that more acceptable? And if you probably argument that you don't know if it would work, but would you find that acceptable? And if so, are there any consequences that the legislators should be aware of, unforeseen consequences of actually specifically legislating against the hoax? I'm sure we can all agree in the room that, you know, hoaxes can cause significant damage and harm to people. Let's not debate that. But is it, are there unforeseen consequences if you legislate for a hoax, for example? Thank you.
Well, I don't have the capacity to, you know, think about unforeseen consequences to the very last bit. I think the asking about or putting the malicious intent into the bill might face a certain danger, because you need to be clear about that neither source nor anyone else will ever be able to, like, create a 100% spot-on weather forecast. This is simply not possible. Whether you reach a 75%, 85%, or maybe 99% certainty in the outcome, especially going forward, like, as the current trend is, going towards a 10-day or 14-day weather forecast, you'll always have a big means of lack of precision in your forecast. And seeing that source is explicitly exempt from any kind of responsibility for outcomes of their forecast, and this is not this lack of liability is not extended to private competition in the current bill without without the amendment through the bill. You might want to define the intent intentionally created warnings that only serve the purpose of creating panic or another malicious outcome. Yes, but you need to be aware that there might be a blogger who in his private function, with a disclaimer saying that he is not submitting this as an official warning, might write about in 14 days there might actually be a storm coming up over Mpumalanga, and the one time he might be 100% spot on and 10 days ahead of any other forecast, but the next time he might actually be completely wrong and it might be sunny on that day 14 days later. If you put that into words, and if you are able to do that, then I think, and you can really restrict it to malicious or misleading information, then I think that would be the solution. To, if you are ever able to prosecute someone who issues a hoax, I'm not so positive on that, because I'm very sure that already today, you would have the means to prosecute someone who issues a fake weather warning with a letterhead of the SAWS, but I haven't heard of any prosecution that has started based on that. And I'm very sure that's simply based on the fact that it's close to impossible to ever find out who authored this document, who was the originator of this hoax warning. So I would welcome it if the bill was changed to this extent, that it's really restricted to in the way you propose, but I'm not sure if it's going to have any effect going forward.
Thank you very much. It reminds me, a journalist reminds me of the famous story of one of the bosses of the previous Weather Bureau when he was being interviewed at one stage, and the journalist asked him,
do you ever get it right? He says, yes, we get it right. We get it right 40% of the time.
So the weather bureau under that gentleman had no higher expectations than 40% of getting it right. And I think the rest of us, particularly I play golf, so I understand that they never get it right. When you're on the golf course, it's always wrong. Thank you very much. The next input is from Ocean Satellite Imaging Systems, Mr. J. Arabonis. You, sir, just take your seat there. You have 10 to 15 minutes to make your points, and then we'll spend time on questions. Welcome. Thank you very much for taking this opportunity, and over to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to make one point here, is in light of your first statement this morning about the changes of Section 30A and the passageway erroneous, I'm going to change my talk a little bit to be a little bit more informative, to give, I think, everyone here a little bit more information as to what the professional weather service organizations in South Africa are about, and where our data comes from, and how we do it. Because I think that is, from what I heard now already, a glaring omission. People don't know where we get the data from. And I'll hopefully clarify that for you a little bit.
Yeah, well, the point that was made yesterday is that there is no intention to stop the public from using the information. It's only when it's done falsely or misleadingly or through a hoax that that's the problem. So I welcome you to change your, well, not change, but if you do raise those other issues, then you're welcome to do so.
Okay. Just to give you some background on the on our business, Ocean Satellite Imaging Systems. We've been in business now for 12, 13 years doing marine forecasting. Our main aim is marine forecasting. What happens on the land is not so much of our issue. We have some clients, collieries, mines, that sort of thing, but it is not the core of our business. Our core business is the marine industry, which accounts for one of the major aspects of our economy. We're a small company, three consulting meteorologists or oceanographers. My background is I have a degree in ocean atmospheric science and environmental geographical science, followed on by a honors degree in ocean atmospheric science. So I'm a meteorologist and an oceanographer. We are making money out of people subscribing to us and using our professional services. We don't aim to engage in the public as such, other than purely from a client to professional basis. So we don't run a website giving you free information, free warning and all that. I will touch upon how our warnings work later. Now, just I want to touch upon bogus weather warnings from in the marine industry. Yes, there have been a couple around, including a tropical cyclone warning for Johannesburg. I actually had someone from the media phone me and said, come on, wake up. We all know that's not possible. It doesn't need a rocket scientist to figure out a weather hoax. So my main issue is weather hoaxes, people are adults. People should be able to determine these things. You don't get a warning, a stock market warning, there's going to be a crash in the stock market tomorrow and jump out the window just because your neighbor said so. Make sure of your facts. We do that. Everyone should do that, especially people who are making decisions such that they're going to evacuate schools or close a harbor or anything like that. Our clients engage with us on a personal basis, but before they close a harbor on our say-so, they will engage with several other weather forecasters. That's the nature of the game. You are responsible for your actions. And you need to be responsible to make sure that if you make a decision based upon a weather warning, that it is a correct one. Then getting back to Section 30A1, I'm coming back to this because if we go back to, I think, to Section 4 of the Act 8 of 2001, the formation of the Weather Service. The section there under the purpose of the Weather Service already said no one besides the South African Weather Service shall issue a weather-related warning. So we're sitting here 11 years down the line with a piece of legislation which no one even really knew about. I've never read that section. So, and I'm in the business, and we have actually started off before that piece, that act came in. So this new piece of legislation is only criminalizing and putting a fine and a jail sentence to a pre-existing condition. So whatever this committee...
It doesn't put a fine. The newspapers are wrong. I've got an article here. It's completely wrong. It's what most pieces of legislation does. It places a limit on what the court is allowed to do. You know, may not impose a fine more than that. You may not do sentence more than that, but it's up to the court completely what they want to do. If they don't want to give you anything, then they don't have to. There's nothing in this legislation that makes it obligatory. So these newspaper articles, particularly this one here, is completely. Proposed bill calls for 5 million rand fine. It's just complete trash journalism. Because anyone, these clauses are passed every day in Parliament. And anyone knows, you read this, it says, the court may not go above that. It doesn't say it. I'm just saying it to you because, you know,
yes.
For people to hear.
No, that
not to in any way to disagree with what something is.
No, that's absolutely correct, but we still have a piece of legislation saying that the private individual shall not issue a weather warning. The only aspect that the City A does is make provision for some form of fine, be it a one-round fine, be it a prosecution that ultimately fails or that ultimately works its way to the Constitutional Court. We're simply taking something that exists already and putting a fine to it or a potential punishment to it. So already that Act of 2001 needs to be looked at, and the Amendment Act should actually correct that section. And what is interesting is where that section comes from. It comes from Annex 3 of the WMO Treaty number 40. And the important thing here is the wording of the original WMO Treaty, which says, unless authorized to do so by the relevant member, commercial sector providers of meteorological services should, and the operative word here is should, not publicly issue warnings and forecasts relevant to the safety of life and property in the country of maritime area where they operate. Then they go on further to say, warnings and forecasts relevant to the safety of life and property publicly issued by the commercial sector should be consistent with those that originated with the NMF. So what they're saying is that if we as private professionals issuing a weather forecast, we shouldn't do it publicly, which I agree. That is the job of the National Weather Service. We're paying them taxes to do that, and they should do that. But they miss it, and people do miss it. We should still have the ability to issue that warning specifically to our clients. Not necessarily to the open market. Maybe that should be something that could be engaged with the Weather Service. Should they have a method to deal with input from the private sector? But in the meanwhile, we should still be able to do so legally. And we actually, this was a big wake-up call for me when I researched this whole lot, and we tried to engage with the Weather Service to get written authorization from them simply to be legal. We're professional, we deal with big companies. If we're operating legally, which currently we are issuing warnings to our clients, which match up to the WMO definition of a weather warning. So we tried to engage with them, and we had an extremely rude person at the Cape Town Weather Office who accused us of being journalists, which, quite frankly, I don't know if that's a crime yet, but that's fine. He didn't want to help us. We're going to send him a complimentary copy of Making Friends and Influencing People. Then we worked up into the head of corporate affairs, and they put us onto someone else, and we are still working on that. That is now 10 days of effort into it all. So if something like this does happen, Weather Service should have the facility to deal with this. At no stage should they say, how often we need to get this permission? Must we get it for every warning we issue? Or can it be a blanket?
It won't be an authorization process.
going to talk a little bit about total, well, it's on topic, but off what I was going to say. Where do people get the data from? You have most of the internet web providers using NOAA data.
Okay.
National Oceanic, the American National Weather Service. Their data is freely available. 95% of people are using that. 5% are using ECMWF data, European data. Data is dependable. We use it. Big forecasting, international forecasting companies use it. So South African Weather Service does not have a monopoly on the data. So just to conclude here, I feel that the legislation's present form would be a detriment to the safety of mariners in South Africa. It's in completely at odds with the Annexure 4th, the WFO resolution. And finally, if we're going to have some clause of this nature, maybe make it illegal to issue a host weather warning. It's not going to affect us. We're not going to do it. But I don't know who's going to implement that and if you're going to find a person. Thank you.
The idea so far is that it's going to cover three issues: false, misleading, and hoax. So the authorization, there's no necessity for it. It will be the usual flow of information. It's where people do things wrong with information. But where they're just using it for like a self net, you are complete, will be completely safe with those false parts. It's not going to affect your affairs at all.
Okay.
The authorization issue is not going to be there, and the severe weather warning definitions won't be there. It will be the dissemination of information which is false, misleading, or which is a form of a hoax. That is, even the department has said that that's the only thing they want covered.
Okay.
So unless someone else comes and persuades us here in the committee that we must add something to that that we've missed, or the department's missed, then that will be the kind of tenure of it. How it will be drafted is part of the debate we have to have. Okay.
Okay, so we will still be engaged. In
the weren't here yesterday, I mean, when the department gave the input, so you wouldn't have heard all that stuff. So that's what we'll be doing. And you're more than welcome, while the hearings continue, to come and listen here what is happening. You can't participate, but you can definitely listen further and see what is happening. And let me again say to anyone that forgets about it, we are not adverse to accept further written submissions from you as the hearings go on. We still distribute it to the committee members. There are no further oral hearings after these are finished. Clearly, you can't go on ad infinitum. But we are very happy to receive written submissions. If there's something that you've forgotten or so on, you can definitely send us further to amplify your submission. And that goes for anyone, in fact, that's made a submission. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Mr. Morgan?
Thanks, Chief. It's just a comment from what emerged out of yesterday. It was a question that I put to the department as well once we had established that the intention was really to legislate against hoax. I mean, I put the question to the department yesterday, is that hoaxes in the public sphere? And that was certainly the intention. So what I mean by that is, I mean, the legislators, when they go over the clauses and suggest redrafting, has to be very careful of, you know, that people who operate in networks, like yourself, you have a private client database. There was a similarity yesterday with the radio hands, who also operate within a closed network. They talk to other hands. That you should be able to, within those contexts, issue the warnings. So, you know, as you see fit, it's the issue really of hoaxes into the public. Told us yesterday that was really their intention. I think there's a general acceptance of the drafting in the FDA has been poor. It would have to go forward with making sure that any wording actually does resonate with that intent of the department, and I suspect there'll be debate around that. So.
Thank you.
Anything else? Mr. Fenton?
Yeah, so the presenter alluded to the fact that you don't need a rocket scientist to know if the information is
yes.
You know how many times, it may not be many times, but we have experience where people will announce there's a bomb when there's none. One of those sent to Official Tutu, saying that the bomb when there was not the bomb and was transported. So we disagree with you that always people would know it's a hoax. There are times when people panic and get hurt when they run away, hurt of terror. So there are times when that particular occasion does happen.
I disagree with you.
Anyone else? Any last question? All right, answer.
Just with regard to hoaxes, I think there's a huge difference between a bomb threat, which I think, you know, falls almost under a kind of terrorist thing. People, it elicits an extreme reaction that, and the media have kind of shown up Iraq and all that, so bombs have an exceptional fear for us. I think a weather warning is a much slower process. And in the same vein, people shouldn't start running out immediately. Common sense, people do geography at school. The weather is something that is somewhat known to people to some extent. So I don't think, I mean, I've come across them. There's one or two flaky, there's a flaky guy in Stellenbosch who occasionally issues crazy warnings with his electrical dynamometer or something. But no one takes him seriously. And I mean, you listen to him for 2 minutes and you think, this guy's not right in the head. And I mean, do you take 419 scams that come over the internet? They've been happening for the last 20 years, as long as the internet's been there. And take
there's a difference between a scam and a public safety issue. I mean, the famous one is the one in Joburg, when someone gave some warning, and buildings and whole offices shut down. I mean, I don't know if you remember that. It was a few years ago.
Yeah,
probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And those are all, you know, those are businesses. Those are businessmen closing down their businesses. So, you know, clearly one doesn't want to, particularly where you have a public duty to create safety and so on. You clearly want to deter those that may want to use occasions to create that kind of. I don't think you're opposed to that, but you don't necessarily think you're not going to stop the crazy in Stellenbosch.
No
one is ever going to crow, and that's not the one we worried about. The one that does it authentically, like those ones that did everything on the South Africa Weather Bureau's documentation and stuff, looks very authentic when you receive it. It's those that one would be worried about clearly doing those. In fact, well, that's one interesting thing I think was raised yesterday. Is the issue of impersonation of the weather service. So that someone's trying to impersonate them to create that's something that's not in the legislation that we need to look at very seriously. But in any case, I just make that comment. I mean, I imagine no reasonable person is opposed to trying to stop kind of detrimental actions like hoaxes and so on.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what you're saying.
No, but I mean, as far as impersonation goes, I mean, that's copyright. It's a civil matter, that. I mean, that's something, if someone goes and puts a fake warning on my letterhead, I'm going to be seriously, I mean, I'll be called my attorneys immediately.
You can sue them and you can get for your impersonation, but the problem is if people start acting on that, then you can't pick that up through civil action.
No, that's true.
Trying to protect the public from those kind of things. Okay, thanks a lot. I thank you for your taking the opportunity to come here and making the effort. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And good luck with your work, and I can assure you once the bill has been passed, you'll still be doing all your work that you've been doing.
That's good.
There won't be any problems. Okay, the next one, number 3, is AfriForum. Marag meneer, more meneer. Okay, Engels or Afrikaans? As a belief, that shall help. Now, I'm going to need a translator talk to Graham. Good morning to AfriForum. This is submission number 30. You saw the drill. You have 10 to 15 minutes. The big issue that worries everyone is not going to be such a big issue. So you can address it whatever way you want to. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members of Parliament. My name is Julius Kleinhans. I'm the Head of Environmental Affairs for AfriForum, and it's an honor to discuss the document with you today.
Yes, Afrifoorum, as opposed to the bill for various reasons, it poses a threat to the safety of South African citizens. The unjustifiable violation of South Africans' rights to freedom of expression and access to information, the reasonable, the responsible party not accepting liability for negligence, and the negative practical effect that the bill might have on the environment. Now, I just want to say, we refer to the following sections in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, even though we discussed 30A yesterday. I also made the mistake, and I just want to tell you that, you know, if a second offence has been made in the document, penalties are up to 10 million rand, but yeah, like you said, it's from 1 rand, you cannot really say that. So, Sarah...
Actually, we put in the to limit judges. So they can't go, or magistrates particularly.
Okay.
So they can't go beyond a certain...
Okay.
But it's the discretion is completely free what they want to do.
Okay, fantastic.
That's a limitation. In fact, if anyone is going to complain, it should be the judiciary saying, why are you putting a limit on our...
Yes. Yes, and it's interesting, you know, AfriForum is also against hoaxes and things like that. I don't think that any person has the right to do that, and that violates the safety of other members and civil rights. So several weather situations, including cumulative environmental disasters, could have even more disastrous consequences should this legislation be implemented when considering the current cumulative environmental disasters and the impact thereof across the globe. It is clear that the timing of evacuation is crucial of limiting and managing the impacts to avoid a catastrophe. So yeah, that is really... We're addressing this because of the implication it might have on people in the area. Just to go down in the documents, if you see that recent flooding events in Limpopo and Mpumalanga give clear indication of what would happen if this bill were to be enacted on Wednesday, 18th of January 2012, which spread and surroundings, including parts of Kruger National Park, were hard hit by Cyclone Dando. Heavy rains and subsequent floodings resulted in some communities being cut off from civilization, and they had to be rescued by emergency services. AfriForum was informed that no prior warnings were issued by the South African Weather Services whatsoever. It has also been brought to AfriForum's attention that a caller had phoned into one of the talk radio stations on the day of the flooding with a warning to the effect of which spread that it might have been flooded that day. When another caller phoned in and he accused him of inciting panic amongst citizens of South Africa, and that it is a criminal offence, and that is ever since this new amendment has been implemented. And hypothetically, if an early warning could not be issued, and the effect area was highly populated in that area, the results could have been catastrophic. You know, and that takes us to another thing. You know, Section 27A, dealing with the limitation of liability in the states. You know, neither the weather services nor any other person acting on behalf of the weather service is liable for any damage or loss or any injury caused by the exercise of any power and performance of any duty under this Act for the failure of exercise any power or perform or duty assigned by or under this Act. Which means, you know, I just want to see that in the amendment they included atmospheric emissions, but yesterday I was told that that's a they don't want to implement that.
That shouldn't be there.
So it shouldn't be in there.
It also shouldn't be there. It should just be weather-related information.
Just weather-related, yeah, because that actually poses a major threat if you look at... you know, hazardous substances. If a company, let's say, has a big problem and there's gas leaks, for instance, then they couldn't address that because they need a written form. So the Amendment Act was actually a bit misleading to prepare for today. But like yesterday, I already see that most of the issues have been addressed.
That's why I said yesterday, mea culpa helps smooth the cogs of consent.
yes, definitely.
Someone says they've done something that they didn't have the intention to do, it helps us all to then realize that clearly it's something else we need to do.
No, it's true, it's true. And AfriForum is for that. I think in future it's very good to attend the day before you speak, actually. And it was good information that we received yesterday. And AfriForum also indicated yesterday with ETV, their presentation was very very good, and there's a lot of informed decision making that can come from that. And I think it's good if ETV, you know, for instance, and where the services take hands, you know, to address these issues and make it more effective and efficient in the future.
Now, I agree, you know, on the one hand, one should create sanctions and things where people do things wrong, but on the other hand, the more important thing that comes out of this is that the South Africa Weather Services should listen, sit here and listen, and they are listening to what people are saying.
Yes.
Because they are a very valuable resource to us. And if they bureaucratize their work in a way that it doesn't function the way we should be, then that flow of information doesn't help us. And then it creates space for people that want to do a hoax and so on. So the more assertive the Weather Bureau, who we as citizens have given the responsibility to be our guide on these issues, and none of us expect them to be more right than 40% of the time,
yes,
as the future past boss has said, then, you know, it helps. And those, what we suggested yesterday, that they engage with ETV and SABC and all the others and the media, SANEF would be a good idea, is exactly to get a relationship where this information can flow much easier. Mm. Our dissemination of information is atrocious in this country. It's because we, in one way, we bureaucratize it. We, you know, we say that this is meant for disaster management. So the information goes into the disaster management system, and there it takes ages to come out.
Yes, it does.
It takes ages. And what we need to do, encourage, is our citizens to be responsible citizens and take charge of things and so on. The only way we can do that is if we can equip them. You can still do all the disaster management stuff. That is your job to do that. But we are very much encouraging as a committee. The other thing that I assure people, I want to say it now, is that when we do come to looking at the Weather Bureau's budget, which is somewhere in May or June, then we will be looking much more closely at the commercialization issues. I've got no problem with the commercialization, but there are some services that may not, should not be commercialized. And if we think as a committee that they should be, those shouldn't be commercialized because the citizens should have them more freely available, then we'll engage with the Weather Bureau on those. So if you want to pass on information to us as a committee, which are the areas that you feel have been commercialized, which makes it difficult? Now, of course, you have businessmen out there who are trying to make money out of weather services. I'm not really interested in helping them that much. I mean, they must make their businesses. I'm worried more about citizens and the flow of information about the weather so that they can regulate their life in a way that can keep them safe and the citizens around them. So that kind of information, if it has been commercialized, as people are suggesting, then clearly we will take that up with the weather services, because we think that that should be borne by the taxpayer. That information should go, be available to people, and if so, then the taxpayer must pay for it.
Yes.
And not commercialize it. Only a few privileged people that can pay for it can have it. So, but that's a separate issue. Just a few people have mentioned, I say we will take it up on a different occasion, not today.
Okay. AfriForum, we definitely agree with that. And it's essential that they can. You know, AfriForum also works as a civil rights organization. Our members are whistleblowers. And the whistleblowers, if they indicate a problem, but I think which also must be done through the Weather Services, is not only for the whistleblower for cause and weather and effect, to address those issues, but also to take hands in fighting negligence. You know, if the Weather Services can inform members of society on these issues, because the gentleman showed me yesterday two of these hoaxes, and with the proper logos and things, you know, it's misinformed. And it's criminal. I t-
previous presentations has addressed all issues, and I think we're looking forward to seeing the next amendment bill. And and then just because of the misinformation that we received through the bill, there was a comment that I made, and I would like to read it. If this amendment bill is enacted, government might as well also implement legislation to make it a requirement to obtain written permission from the Department of Transport before anyone may inform the public of traffic problems. You see, so, but like we addressed the problem now, so.
Well, at least it doesn't say before you go onto the road.
definitely, yeah. Thank you.
All the morning shows will not be able to operate.
Exactly.
All the programs on traffic problems.
All right, questions? Anything? I think it's very clear, the input. Thank you very much for your support, and thank you for every forum to participate. We really appreciate that people take up issues. As I said, the issue is not whether we agree or disagree. The issue is to get the democracy functioning properly and for to help us as legislators to hear what people's views are so that we can take those into consideration when we make decisions. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you, members of Parliament.
All right, we can still continue. The next one is SANEF, Mr. Lowe. It's submission 38. Do I have that submission 38? Oh, there it is. Yeah. All right, morning, Mr. Lowe. Thanks for taking the opportunity to be here, and you know the drill. You have 10 to 15 minutes, and you've heard some of the things that have happened in the last 2 days. So over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and also thank you very much indeed for lessening the burden that I have this morning by indicating that you are going to amend the bill, which will remove most of what I'm going to say. But and that's extremely welcome indeed, that that approach is being adopted. But what I would like to do is to go through what I'm saying so as to place it on record. Because I think that there has been some deficiencies, and you in fact indicated that when you said earlier that further discussions on the process of the Weather Department and its services should be held with organizations like ETV and SANEF, etc., highlights in fact a deficiency in drafting this bill, that there was no consultation as far as we are aware. With any of the media organizations,
they did make it available for publication. Only two people commented, unfortunately. One of them was the Weather Service itself, and somehow the media and everyone else just didn't pick up that the department asked for comment. But be it as it may, the issue about them having a relationship with you guys, I think, is still a good point.
But the the issue that worries me as a journalist is that we have the various newspapers have representatives in Parliament constantly covering the issues here, and for them not to have in fact alerted us to the provisions in this bill which would have affected the operations of the media is something that we will have to take up internally within SANEF. But anyway, so let me go ahead. I think I should merely mention that you are fully aware of SANEF, but just for members of the committee, SANEF is a voluntary forum of editors, senior journalists, and journalism trainers from all areas of the media industry in South Africa, and their primary aim is to promote the quality and ethics of journalism, to reflect the diversity of South Africa, and to champion freedom of expression. And we were gravely concerned about certain amendments to the Weather Service Act of 2001, which is contained in the amendment bill, because of the provisions for censorship of news relating to weather forecasting and pollution of the atmosphere. In particular, SANEF is alarmed at the lengthy periods of imprisonment and excessive fines that are provided for. I was amused that you say, well, actually what it's doing is putting a cap on judicial authority. But we look at it from another point of view, that it's in fact raising an area from 1 rand to 5 million rands, but I won't stress that point.
You would accept that this kind of reporting is completely false. Proposed bill calls for 5 million rand fine.
Well, I think I may disagree with you there, that because in fact the bill does provide for a 5 million rand fine, and it's not saying a 10 rand fine, it's calling for a 5 million rand fine. But anyway, so
doesn't call for a 5 million.
That's
a problem. It doesn't call for it. Let's read it. Here it is. A person who contravenes any provision of is guilty of an offence and is liable in the case of a first offence to a fine not exceeding 5 million rand or prison for a period not exceeding 5 years in the case of a second. So it puts a cap on what the court can do. It doesn't put a... to get things like this to say that we are now... Well, that's a mandatory sentence. It's unconstitutional.
I think I'll leave that to the press ombudsman to decide, sir.
And I imagine you won't want to concede these things.
Well, no, no.
You just don't understand the kind of, I think, kind of one who then views the media. That it's something so simple. You read that and you read that. It's just so completely false.
It's not calling for a 10 rand fine. It's calling for 5 million. As a maximum.
Not calling for a fine at all. Not calling for a fine at all. It says to a court, you may not impose something more than this. It's not calling for a...
Well, I don't want to get into the semantics of the issues there. SANEF recognizes that the intentions of the bill are to prevent harmful false weather forecasting and false information about air pollution reaching the public, and we, in fact, are in favor of certainly action taken against people who want to hoax others and cause the kind of problems that can arise from giving out false information. But we believe that the amendments will restrict the media in informing the public and could be a breach of the Constitution, which in fact brings us to another point in the amendment where it talks about the constitutional implications of this amendment, and they don't recognize that it would be in breach of the Constitution because it would offend against Clause 16 of the Constitution. Or at least that's our belief anyway. So we call on the Ministry of Water and Environmental Affairs to repeal or drastically amend these proposals. The bill warns that publication of weather forecasts or warnings and information about air pollution requires weather service permission. This will seriously inhibit the media from publishing stories obtained from reputable sources other than the SA Weather Service, such as international academic or scientific institutions. Apart from the practical difficulties of obtaining permission to publish, such as would occur late at night, on holidays or weekends, or when officials were not available, the media is totally opposed to giving an outside organization, and especially a state organization, powers to decide what the media may or may not publish. That constitutes censorship, and that, we believe, is contrary to the Freedom of Media Clause in the Constitution. This could also prevent the media from publishing stories of protests by citizens at pollution caused by factories, mines, steel plants, and other industrial enterprises. We also worry that severe weather is not defined, a failure which is likely to lead to much confusion. The charge of supplying false and misleading information about the weather service will also raise controversy, as the weather service will decide what is false and misleading, making it difficult for an accused person to prove the contrary. There's been a discussion just recently, right here, this morning, about whistleblowers in the weather service. Now, if there was a whistleblower in the weather service raising an issue about some improper conduct taking place there, well, there is a possibility that such information, if it was published, would be in breach of the clause which talks about unlawfully, intentionally, or negligently committing an act or omission which detrimentally affects the weather service. So we worried about the vagueness of that wording. We also, of course, raised the point of whether a labor dispute at the weather service would be regarded as an offense under this provision. Punishment for offenses, well, we've dealt with that, so I won't go into that any further.
I can say to you that on that clause C, we're also worried about that wording.
Thank you, sir. That's a great relief to us, because that certainly would raise a great deal of problems. And then we want to record our disappointment that it and other media representative bodies were not consulted on the bill. And this raises questions about the efficacy of the board members under the 2001 Act, one of whom is appointed to take note of media matters in relation to the operations of the service. That person has a specific responsibility to deal with media matters, and that apparently did not take place. I thank you, sir.
I would ask the department to please provide Mr. Lowe with whatever announcements you made when you processed the bill, just so that they can see how you do it, and maybe there are other ways of doing it better. I must tell you that this committee operates, for example, differently. We do give a press statement, but we then also target specific stakeholders. I asked my secretary here, if it's a bill like this, I say, well, you know, try and send it to those people. When we did the climate change, we check all the NGOs that deal with climate change, and we specifically send the press statement to them. We don't leave it to chance. There, for example, the whole country, all the media, everyone missed the bill the first time. Not a single one of them, as you said, only the weather services and some, what is that organization? SEON, whoever they are. They were the only ones that picked up that the bill was. So here's another issue maybe where, you know, to have a discussion with the media as well, and to use the media more in this instance where you are the custodians of that information. To use the media in a way that's positive to the citizens of this country. Okay, so I think let's just give that information so Mr. Lowe and them can also see how it is that they missed it and everyone else missed it. Okay, thank you. That gentleman over there with the grey, he will.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Any questions? It seems that most of the issues covered by Mr. Lowe, we already. In the processes of dealing with, but that's, you can still ask questions if you're interested. Anyone? No one? Mr. Loken, I thank you very much, and can I also ask from your side that we see if we can get some of these discussions going?
Sir?
Okay.
And may I say, I feel deeply honored that I should be in this particular building on this particular day, because under the previous regime, they wouldn't allow me anywhere near you. And also, sir, to meet up again with yourself in discussing these issues.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're very lucky. You're sitting just next to the seat, which you should remember well. Is it this one or that one? Where Dr. Verwoerd got stabbed. They always told me it's that one there. So you, for another reason, you're sitting close to history.
Maybe that's too close.
Thank you very much. Thanks to Sunny for taking the efforts to engage us on these issues and taking the time to come. What's the time? Are we still have time? Tea's outside. Let's have some tea and let's be back in 5 minutes. Thank you.